And she comes highly recommended by our friend Lori Bolster. This is Ruth Meinking. I may not be pronouncing your name right. I should have asked you. I apologize. You can correct me if you like. Ruth is a retired emeritus practitioner from the Centers for Spiritual Living. She lives in Colorado Springs, and she's served in her church for over 27 years. She's taught 4 practitioner classes and facilitated years of retreats and been on the platform. She's also a retired holistic counselor, and she facilitated corporate personal growth trainings in a variety of states. And Ruth has a lot of wonderful experiences that she has to draw upon. And today we are studying the book, Can We Talk to God, by Ernest Holmes. And Ruth is doing chapter 5, which I was just looking at, is called The Energy Back of Thought. Mm-hmm. So please welcome with me, Ruth.
Thank you so much. And I feel so welcomed. And I'll just say, I love the open-hearted energy that I'm feeling from the group, and am delighted to be able to step in and share perfectly this energy of thought. And I added practicing the presence and being our own true nature. So I love Ernest Holmes' saying, "We are crying for something real." People flock to religions, exercise, relationships, money, many, many things outside of ourselves, looking for the real deal. So as we delve into our quest of spirituality, oneness, consciousness, I'll say whatever you want to call it, we find our true self, capital T, capital S, our true home. That is the core of who we are, the energy of everything. So from chapter 5, page 40, Ernest Holmes says, "One definite experience which proves the integrity of the soul and its direct relationship to the universal mind and spirit will do more good than all the teachings of theology, where we can, from our experience, say, 'This I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see.'" So I'll just repeat again, one definite experience. And through the many classes I've taught and the studies with Ernest Holmes, and as many of you know, as his verbose writing, as he completed his writing and his life, he really became even more of a poet. And my sense was he was very much wanting to describe even more the experience of oneness, which is really beyond words. And so that's going to be a big part of my focus today in my talk, is how important it is to take that time in practice and in our lifestyle in mindfulness to be able to experience that presence of God within us and in everything. And we have many distractions and they seem to kind of compile on each other. And that even makes it more important to take our time to remember and pay attention to experiencing what Ernest says, that we are crying for something real, and this realness is God. And this will be fun. I've written this all out, but now I'm thinking about Gandhi. So I remember teaching a class about Gandhi and his amazing contribution to the world. And one of the things that just came to mind was when someone said, you know, that he had more responsibilities that he was going to be doing, and how are you going to do all that? He goes, "I'm going to take more time in meditation. That's what I'm going to do, so that I can be present for everything else that's showing up." So I think his words ring true for us today too. I have a really deep love of nature and had an opportunity recently, last month, 3 weeks ago, to go to the Grand Canyon. And my husband and I did a massive hike. I don't know, how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Okay, a couple of you. All right. And I have before too. I've actually rafted the Colorado River twice. I have a real love for that part of the country. But anyhow, he had been down this trail before and said, and I said, okay, great, let's do it. So we went down this trail that was 3,500 feet and it was over 100 degrees. And then we crossed to another trail to come back up. And I don't know if you've been, Connie said she's been to that part of the world. I became extremely hot and it was much more strenuous than I can imagine. I was challenged many times on the trail, scared, frustrated, and so exhausted. And I share this because what kept me going was seeing myself at the top of the trail. And the day before, what I did was walk over to where I was going to come out. And I just stood there. I put my arms up in the air, put my feet on the ground, and just said, yes, I made it. Which helped me tremendously because I didn't get to do that until 11 p.m. that night. My prayers during that epic event was very simple. It got down to, it felt like I was kind of being peeled away, my ego, my whatever. My prayers were, help me, thank you. And I'll add, there was many times I had to rest and there was a vulture that kept flying high above my head. And I finally, at one point I said, you cannot have me. And I was very serious at that point. So what happens when we have experiences, when they're planned or not? For me, I felt old patterns, blocks to my faith. Like, can I really do this? And I was like, yes, I can. It felt like they burned away with each step. We ended up hiking up the last 3 hours in the dark with our headlamps. And at one point when we stopped very frequently, and it was dark, and something happened for me with seeing the vast universe, the stars, and feeling absolutely enveloped by that divine oneness and feeling infused. This was one of the definite experiences that Ernest Holmes is talking about. A lot of times they take us by surprise. It could be a bird waking you up in the morning. It could be the laughter of a child. But we have these experiences of God that I find are critical to us being able to, I think it's from Tara Brach, using the word resiliency, having that resiliency in our system that we absolutely continue to deepen in knowing who we are, that we are divine expressions of God, and that whatever winds are shaking our tree, our roots are deep. Our roots are deep. So as we deepen in our practice of oneness, we find that we are this unique expression of the energy of the cause, that one, that first cause. And as we deepen our faith, we tap into a stronger experience of God in, through, and around us. And I'll say, even when things aren't pretty, it's always easier when life's going well, but when it's hard or when something jars or surprises us, that resiliency of our faith can keep us deeply rooted. This practice supports us in learning, unlearning, and I think someone else mentioned earlier, rewiring the past limiting perspectives, healing traumas, and unlocking feelings. Our whole system becomes more and more awake to the beauty and the energy of consciousness. So again, in chapter 5, page 42, Ernest Holmes says, as we seek to demonstrate the power of spiritual realization in our everyday affairs, we should think of ourselves as divinely guided, affirming that our mind is continually impressed with the images of right action, and that everything in our life is controlled by love, harmony, and peace. That everything we do prospers, and that the eternal energy back of everything, all things, animates everything we undertake. And does that mean it looks the way we want it to? Sometimes. And it is about being open and trusting that even though it may not look the way we think it should, or something's unfolding in a different way, to trust that the activity of God is taking place. So what what I loved about teaching practitioner classes was not so much the lectures, but the experientials of each person getting a glimpse of, I call it the aha of the God experience. It's beyond our thoughts, our thinking mind. And for me, I'm a real planner. So I might wake up in the morning and my mind wants to go planning, 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 planning. It's like, oh, hi, hello, there you are. And now I'm going to go do my yoga, which I love to do with YouTube and Tara Brach or Jack Kornfield. I like to move and listen to them and then go do my spiritual practices. So that's all very important to continue to learn, to ingest, but also to realize that, the aha experience of God can just happen anytime. A teacher of mine who was amazing always said, the juice is when the heart surprises the mind. And you may remember having those experiences where you felt like your heart just opened up. And it doesn't mean our learning is not important, but it's also very much, I think, where Ernest Holmes was getting to in his later years was deepening the experience. So this last week, I was very tender. Coming from a very tender heart, I facilitated a celebration of life service for a very dear friend of mine. And the experience before the service was a jumble of grief, overwhelm, and my intention to be of service. So I got to fervently practice, and I mean fervently practice, connecting with this God experience, talking with the family, reaching out for support, and letting go and letting love lead. There was an aha, letting love lead in the midst of change, unknown, loss. So I could feel myself remembering to connect to my roots, to the earth. And I think one of you mentioned that. I think it was Bob, one of you. And feeling that connection. And then opening my heart to the sky, which I encourage you to. I have a real connection with trees, so in nature. And just when I find myself feeling uncertain, it's roots and open my heart to the sky. The power and presence of God manifested so fully as I could feel the effect flowing from the cause of my intention to be of service. My faith has deepened, my heart has softened, and my gratitude flows like a deep river. So this experience was a beautiful reminder for me of each day, each experience is here for me, for us to open, to deepen and feel and let go and let God and trust that God's got it. A very dear minister friend of mine from the church here came up with that slogan, and I just love it. I use it all the time. Somebody says something like, how are we going to do this, or what's going on, or blah, blah, blah. God's got it. And even God's got us. But it helps me just like, God's got it. So whatever the situation is, to remember that we are conduits. I love that experience, conduits of this energy of God and of love. And we get to practice experiencing being home in the oneness of God, whether it's big events or everyday challenges, getting up, stubbing your toe, the toast burnt, flat tire, whatever it might be, something happens. Okay, God's got it. And God is right in the middle of me. So because I really have, from that chapter, got the energy around experiencing God, I would like us all to shift into doing an experiential practice together. So what I invite you to do is to just, if you're not already comfortable, to get comfortable. You can have your eyes open or closed, but just take a few deep breaths. Just notice what's happening in your body, because we are here as human beings and having our spiritual experience. Just being present. So what I'd like you to open yourself up to is experiencing God through a couple of your senses. So first, let yourself imagine what God, oneness, consciousness, whatever word you like to use, what does God sound like to you? It could be anything. So just let go, see what shows up. If nothing shows up, that's okay too. And just think it to yourself, but what would that be? What would that sound be that would be an expression of God? And next, now imagine what image you see of God, or just what you see with your eyes. That would be an expression of God. And now one last sense. Now check in with your body to see what you feel as you open to God. What is the feeling? So next I'm going to ask that we're going to add another component. I know you can do this. So just let that kind of be to the side for a minute. And I want you to connect with your breath, but in a special way. I'd like you to imagine, or not to imagine, to breathe in and then just hold it for a count or two, and then slowly breathe out, like twice as long as your in-breath. And we'll just do that for a couple of times together. Just breathing in, hold, long exhale. One more time, at your own pace. Great. Okay. Now I invite you to pick one word that you would want to deepen into your experience of God, into your system. Could be anything. It could be peace, calm, love, grace. Just let a word come to your awareness. All right. So now as you are aware of that word, as well as your humanness, that smell of God, the visual of God, the feeling of God, we're going to do a breathing exercise. Excuse me, very simple, but all very profound, can be. So, excuse me, when you breathe in, and I'll explain this and then we'll do it together. Being able to say to yourself, welcome, let's say, peace. I embrace peace when you hold your breath. And then on the exhale, I extend peace. So it'll be welcome, I embrace, I extend. So let's do that together. And let's begin. And then you just get to fill in the word that you chose. I welcome. I embrace. I extend. And now two more times at your own pace. And now when you're ready, you can either open your eyes or keep them closed. Notice what you're aware of in your, I'd call it system, your mind, body, emotion, and spirit. Just notice what's happening for you. And as you do, I have a reading from Thich Nhat Hanh's book called Your True Home. When you breathe in, you bring all of yourself together, body and mind. You become one, equipped with that energy of mindfulness and concentration. With that, you may take a step. And if you take one mindful step, you can take another and another. You have the insight, excuse me, that this is your true home. You are alive. You are fully present. You are touching life as a reality. Your true home is a solid reality that you can touch with your feet and your hands and your mind. Another deep breath, let it go. And I'd like to complete this portion of the program, my talk, with a beautiful blessing prayer by John O'Donohue. May you always trust the urgency and wisdom of your own spirit. May the shelter and nourishment of all the good that you have done, the love that you have shown, the suffering you have carried, awaken around you to bless your life 1,000 times. And when love finds the path to your door, may you open like the earth to the dawn and trust your every hidden color towards its nourishment of light. May you find enough stillness and silence to savor and delight in the eternity that shapes you, that calls you, that holds you. And may you know that despite confusion, anxiety, and emptiness, your name is written in heaven. And may you come to see your life as a quiet sacrament of service, which awakens around you a rhythm where doubt gives away to grace and wonder, where what is awkward and strained can find elegance, and where crippled hope can find wings. May divine beauty bless you. And so it is. Thank you.